because it was just temporary. And I told them I would like to really work full permanently there, part-time. And then I wouldn't work at night. And then we, because the kids were getting older. And so that's what I did. I switched over to that. And then when we left, so then I worked there and I enjoyed that. That was fun. And then my husband got, his unit was downsizing or something. And so there was a list. We had been there, you know, going on 5 years, and there was a list of names that when job openings, they were gonna, okay, there's this job in this place. Okay, this is a list that we're gonna offer of people that we were gonna offer the job to. So there was a job that came open in Alamogordo again, at Holloman Air Force Base, and it was getting to the point where our daughter was gonna have to go to school off base. And I think that was sixth grade. She was third grade, and I think fifth grade was going to go off base to school, and to Naylor Junior High, which is a really rough neighborhood in Tucson, and we didn't want that. So we were going to pick our. We were looking for orders. We were hoping to get out of there so she wouldn't have to go to that school. So this job, one of the jobs opened up at Holloman, and it was offered, I don't know if it was offered to Bob first, but he was, you know, the next one that they offered it to. And, you know, we talked about it. It's like, well, we've been there before. We know it's, you know, we know the area. It's a good, quiet, small city, you know, that shouldn't have too much trouble. So we moved the kids. So we took the orders because we didn't know. The next job that, you know, comes up, they might make him take. And who knows where that was? You know, at least we had some idea where we were going. So we moved to Alamogordo, which was his first active duty station, and it was his last because he retired from there. But there was, you know, after we think about it, of course, when we left there and moved, and then we were there for 6 years. He retired, and we moved back to New York. To be closer to a family because both parents, sets of parents, were getting older. And I was talking to Vanessa, you know, my parents came out early to get the kids in the middle of the summer, got them back to New York to start school because we didn't want them to start school in New Mexico, then after a month or two, get moved to New York, and then maybe get moved because we were going to go up to Watertown and look for, Bob was going to go up there to get a job, which is up on the Canadian border. So we didn't want them to keep moving them through a school year. So we thought, well, we'll start them in Edmiston, and then they won't only have to move once during the school year. Well, that was a mistake because they got here, and then in October when Bob and I finally got here, they told us, Mom and Dad, we do not want to move. We like it here. We don't want to move. You know, so we felt that, well, this was a good transition. They did it very well. So then we started looking for jobs around here, which there wasn't a whole lot. But Bob got a job, and then I got a job. And I started working at, I've substituted the school for a year. But, you know, that was only, you know, if there was no school, then I didn't get paid because I didn't go in, because I was just a permanent sub. And I needed something more steady because of the fact that we need to get a mortgage. I need it on paper that, you know, I'm making X amount, you know, not X amount maybe this month and nothing this month. You know, I needed, because I didn't get paid in the summertime either. So I applied to a bank. Well, I applied for this job at the New York State Historical Association. I saw the opening and I'm sitting there going, oh yeah, I've worked in libraries down in New Mexico when we got stationed there, I worked at the school and I was in the librarian at the elementary school. Because you didn't have to have an MLS to work in the elementary school. You were overseen by a librarian who had the MLS. But we were just, like, we were kind of considered library aides. But we just had our own elementary school that we dealt with, took care of. And so, you know, I had the experience working there. So I saw this library job here. I said, oh, another library job. I must be destined to work in a library. So I applied, and It took them a while, but they called me in for an interview. And I didn't hear. And my brother, who had a friend to work in the bank, he said, well, you know, Lisa needs help. You want to work in the bank? Sure. So by golly, I no sooner took that job, and I worked there a week. And Wayne calls up. He goes, Wayne Wright, who is now my boss, says, we would like to hire you. I says, well, I already took another job, but let me get back to you on that one. So I found out that the job at the bank was not going to be full-time and couldn't guarantee the benefits and stuff. And so Wayne said there was benefits and vacation time. And so I gave him my 1 week's notice. And then I started working here, and I've worked here for 9 years. So, anyway, that took me a while.
Now, so you've been here for 9 years. What is one of the biggest things you've seen change?
Staffing. The library has lost a lot of staffing. Compared to what, I mean, I only know that since I've been here, they've lost. There used to be somebody who did acquisitions, Adele. And then she left and I took over a job. And then we really haven't gained or lost. We've only lost that one position since I've been here. But to listen to Wayne, who says, you know, all these people that used to work here, and then when one person left, and somebody else that was here took over that position. So it's gotten to the point to where we're down to just four full-timers. Five, I guess, now that with Evan, we'd have five full-timers. But there used to be, like, twice as many working here. So that is the big thing as far as the library goes. The cutback on staffing, you know, and making do with what, you know, you're just going to have to buck up. It's like, but sometimes you can't just do everything that they want you to do with the staff you have. So that's why when you guys moved in to the building, when CGP moved in the building, we whined and complained, and we got Sarah. We got somebody to work part-time at the front desk so that, you know, I could do, because I took over acquisitions from Adele when she left. Still doing the interlibrary loans and still the reference questions and the public service, but at least I'm free to move around. Like before, I was stuck at the desk because when I got here, I was front desk. I did interlibrary loans and public service. That's it. And reference questions and everything. But then when Adele left, I took also the acquisitions part, and I just couldn't do both and be at the front desk all the time. You know, I had to be in the back. Because, you know, people, you're there for people to ask questions. And so if you're in the middle of, you know, trying to balance a budget, and you get interrupted, it just throws you off. So as far as that staffing, it's always been the library here has always been the stepchild as far as within New York. To me, it's one of the more important things as far as the organization goes because of the fact that you can't have an exhibit without the library. The curatorial staff uses the library for research, for interlibrary loans. But I don't think we're treated to that respect as, okay, we were told, okay, you have to make X amount of money. Well, who thinks that a library is going to be making money? You know, it's not a money-making business. We're here for support and not, well, I mean, we bring in what we can, but it's through research fees. But it's been like that the whole time. I don't think it's ever changed. It will, I was hoping that things would be a little bit better, but with new administration, and I think it did a little bit, but I still don't think we're treated as important as I think we are. See, that's about it. Really, just the place doesn't really change that much, other than, you know, when somebody leaves, you don't replace them, which is, I think, with a lot of nonprofits lately, you know, like, well, if we can do with one person, then we're not going to replace that other person, you know. So, I think that's all.
So what do you like best about working here at the library?
Oh, I love the people. And I do like my job. I like that challenge of finding a book and getting and seeing if I can get it in. I love ordering books, finding the books, talking to people, and just, I love my job. I love the people. I don't always like the bullshit that we have to put up with in some respects, you know. But I do love the people. I've always been a... Now, I couldn't say I've always been a very outgoing person. When I first got married, I was very quiet and shy. I stuck by my husband's side. But being a military wife, and when they take off and go, you can't be like that. So over the years, and we've been married for 30 years, I have become very outgoing. And I don't, because I mean, my husband, he would go to, when we were to New Mexico the last time, he spent a lot of time. In the at a 3-year period, he had spent a full 12 months in Kuwait doing desert, I think it's Desert Watch is what they called at the time. So, I mean, he would be gone 3-4 months at a time. And even when he went to Iceland, you know, I had to rely on myself to take care of things. You know, I couldn't. And it was funny because when he got back, he says, you know, we never hear from your wife. You know, she never calls up. He says, we got all these wives calling and whining and complaining. You know, when are they coming back? They go, we never hear from her. And it's just like, well, we lived off base. I had a friend that her husband was not military. Her husband worked for the gas company and her kids were the same age as mine. So I think I had that support, you know. But I had to learn to do things on my own, or, you know, I had to deal with things. So I think that got me more outgoing than, you know, say, if he was home all the time and I had him take care of everything. No, I had to take care of a lot of stuff. So I think... that's one thing about being a military wife when they're gone. Because, I mean, not just when he went to Kuwait, he also went TDY for, you know, 2 or 3 months. He'd go to Las Vegas, he'd go to Florida. He traveled the country. I never traveled the country, but he did. So, and you know, I had to take care of things at home. So that's how I think being a military wife, I learned to... So I'm more outgoing. You know, if I needed something, I wasn't afraid to ask. You know, I look into it and do it. So, I'm not the shy, quiet bride that I was 30 years ago. I have become more outgoing, and I really enjoy talking to people. And it doesn't matter if I know the person when they come in the front door. I could talk to them, and then it's and not gibberish either. It's you know. About work, but you know, I have no, I'm not shy. I don't shy away. I don't sit back and just let them, you know, talk to me. I'm, you know, I'm usually the first one to approach them and say, okay, what can we do for you? And I think that's just helped me over the years, you know, being a military wife, because I was moving around and I had to meet people. Every time we moved, you know, we changed friends. So I had to, you know, either sit home and cry or just get out there and meet people. And I usually got out and met people. So anyway, that's what I really like about my job here is the people, the students. I mean, there has not been, well, I can't say. I've been here for 9 years, working here for 9 years. And there might have been one or two students that, yeah, we just, you know, they were just not my favorite. But on the most part, though, I got the students were great. You know, they're when we first got back and I was substituting at the school and I worked with 7th graders, 8th graders, elementary. You know, I'm sitting there going, I'm going to kill them. You know, because they just I wouldn't put up with it in my own kids. But I, you know, in school you had to deal with it a little bit differently than what you could do with your own kids at home, okay? So, you know, I got a little frustrated about dealing with kids that, because, you know, it's because I said so, you know, they're just going to look at you and laugh, you know? But dealing with graduate students, they're adults. they're young adults, and you know, they're here for a reason, and you know, I try to help. You know, it was just so much easier dealing with graduate students than seventh and eighth graders. It was so, I really enjoyed that portion. I'm glad that, you know, we moved. I mean, that I'm working with young adults instead of junior high. Okay, and so, yeah, and it's the people. I mean, I really like the people here. I can, you know, security guys, I walk in, I knock on the door, I always say hello to them. And there's some people that just walk by them and just don't say anything. Well, they're there. They're people. You kind of say hi to them. You know, they're staff, facilities guys. They're staff. You have people that work. We all work together for one common goal. And that, you know, so you got to talk to them. You know, they're no better than the rest of us. Or we're no better than them, I should say, or anybody else. You know, we all should. I have a part problem with, you know, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us, you know, so, you know, you're no different than us, I guess. Okay.
So you were gone from Cooperstown for
22, well, we, from the area, we were gone, I married in 79, we left, we didn't come back until 1999. So 20 years.
What's one of the largest changes you've seen in the area?
In Cooperstown, there is, when I grew up in Cooperstown, we would come to Cooperstown and go shopping. There was J&J Newberry's. They had a wonderful fabric department downstairs, toy department. You could go shopping at J&J Newberry's and get whatever. And then there's also the capital counter that you can get lunch. There was hardware stores, shoe stores. Uncle Albert, my father's sister's husband, had a barbershop on Main Street, and he cut my bangs when I was a kid because Mom could never get them straight. So every once in a while, she'd bring me over to Uncle Albert's, and he would trim my bangs. So that was, and there was a grocery store. There was one baseball souvenir shop, Woods, just down between Pioneer and, well, right next to Auger's Bookstore. And that was the only baseball souvenir place there was in Cooperstown. And when we moved back, I could not believe how many baseball places. I mean, the theater, for God's sakes. We used to come over here to Cooperstown to the movies. We watched The Absent-Minded Professor. Grandma would come and get us, and we'd go, Absent-Minded Professor, Shaggy Dog. Mom took me to the My Fair Lady. When Bob and I were dating, we brought my younger brother and sister over, and we saw the Rescuers. So, and then I come back, and it's this baseball souvenir place. It's a theater, for God's sakes, you know? And how many baseball stuff do you need? So, that really is a shock to me. And I think a lot of it, from what I've gathered from talking to people, it wasn't like that until Dreams Park, that baseball camp that's south of town in Hartwick, came in. So then all the baseball, because then you had the influx of all the players and their families. So, you know, of course, there was a need, but sometimes I have a hard time thinking about what I want to say. But there was customers, you know. I mean, so they felt they could support all these baseball places on Main Street in Cooperstown. So that was, I don't remember the amount of people that come in now than compared to 30 years ago when I was growing up. Because it didn't matter what time. You could come to Cooperstown, you did your shopping, you could get a parking spot on Main Street. But it's just much different now. I still don't. I wait until I'll go downtown. I usually can get a place in May, but then I won't go down on Main Street like to go to CVS until after Labor Day, because you can't find it. It's just too crowded. You know, it's just for a small town. It's just way too crowded. But I think that's the biggest thing as far as Cooperstown goes. There's also in the outer areas, out in the rural areas, less farms. Where I was growing up, the road on a 6-mile stretch, there was, I think I was went through and I counted about 9 or 10 farms. I mean, working dairy farms that were actually shipping milk. There are 2. And my brother's, it's my folks' farm is one of them, and the one right next door. But the rest have all been, people have sold out. A lot of it is the kids didn't want to continue to farm. Others, it's just sad. I mean, this is it's agricultural area, and the farms are just depleting big time. I mean, my father-in-law was a farmer. His farm is that he had when my husband was growing up is still a working farm. But there's a lot of them where they're just not. And the farms, the barns are falling down. That's really sad for me to see that happen. People buy from the city because property downstate is so much more expensive than up here. And they get up here and they go, oh, this is a bargain. So they'll buy, you know, farms and property just for a summer home. And then they may come up once a year. And then they don't maintain it. And then it falls down. So, you know, but then they're willing to, people will go, oh, well, we can get somebody from the city to buy this place. So they drive the prices, they set the price high. Well, the people that are living here, grew up here, you know, have jobs here, cannot afford these places because it doesn't have the wage base to support it. So that's kind of the, and I should say this because my father was one of those first influxes from the city, but he moved up here and they moved up here and they lived up here. They didn't buy the land and just come up once or twice in the summertime. They moved up here on their own and this is their home. I can't say that he was the start of it, but I think a lot since 9/11, a lot of people have, and even before, they want to get away from the city. They have their problems down there, so let's buy land up in this upstate. Realizing you got to maintain this, but there's a lot of places that just look abandoned, But again, the price of property, we wanted to buy up this one place when we moved back. We wanted something with land. We lived in a city in New Mexico. We wanted land. We wanted space. We didn't want to be close to our neighbors. And, they wanted this one place. Oh, they wanted like $300,000. Like, what are you talking about? This is 20 miles out of Cooperstown. This is over in Burlington where, it's country, Oh, yeah, I'll get somebody from the city to buy it. It's like, fine. So we ended up getting 10 acres from my father, and we put a modular, Cape Cod modular in on it, and we love it. We're out in the middle of, we're far enough, we're within a mile of the hamlet of Edmiston. But we're close enough to the village where we can walk. And if I want to go down and get the mail, I can walk. But we're far enough out to where there is no. We're outside the lighting district, so we don't have to worry about a lot of traffic and a lot of noises and stuff. So I think that's a big thing is. In the outer parts, out of Cooperstown, and is that the decline in farming, and which as growing up on a farm. It bothers me. You know, that's where the salt of the earth farmers are. So, okay.
So throughout the interview, one thing that's been really big is family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked about growing up. Can you talk about your children?
Yes, I have a daughter, 25, her Vanessa. She is a PhD candidate at the University of North Carolina, down Chapel Hill, in majoring in analytical chemistry. She's married. She got married a year ago to someone that she's known for 2 or 3 years. When she worked summers at New York Central in Emiston, it's an insurance company. She worked in Jay's department, and they started dating, and one thing led to another. So, and when she went down, she graduated from Nazareth College in 2004. She started that summer. She was going to start down at UNC. She was accepted, and he went with her. And I was kind of glad, because she was going to a place I'd never know, and there would be somebody there. You know, so if she wanted to come home at night, somebody would make sure that she was home at night, you know. So that it, and so he went away. So I figured, well, gee, that must be true love. He uprooted from his job. He had a good job at New York Central and moved to North Carolina without a job, and to be close to her. And he got a job working, doing the same thing at the insurance company, but a pharmaceutical company. And so they were down there for 2 years when they got married, and he's a good guy. I couldn't ask for a better son-in-law. Then we have son Garrett, who is 20. He'll be 24 next month, and he's still trying to find himself. He graduated from high school in 2004, tried Morrisville to do electronics engineering, and they kind of asked him to leave. Well, no, he did, and then he'd gone up to the state fair with friends and talked to an Air National Guard recruiter. And he goes, you know, Mom, I kind of would like to do that, take some time off from high school, college, and get into the Guard. And I says, well, that's fine. Because we always wanted him to, we figured he wanted to go into the service, but we wanted him to get 2 years of college, at least under his belt, before he went in. And my husband wanted 4, but I, you know, I was more realistic with 2. And so he said, sure. So he went, did the Guard business. And then he tried, when he come back, which a traditional Guard is 1 month, 1 week, weekend out of the month and 2 weeks out of the year. So when he come back and got all his training out of the way, he went back to Morrisville, and then he didn't. Then he didn't. So, he transferred. Then he decided, well, I'm going to transfer to the Mohawk Valley, which is the same program. So he went there. He tried that for a little while. So he's trying to get, now he's trying, he's changed jobs. He was in munitions, and he just got done training, and now he's going into computer networking through the Guard, which is a good, markable skill on the outside. So he's hoping to get into the Guard full-time, which I guess we should have let him go to full-time Air Force when he came out of there, when he got out of high school, because I think he would have been happier and not worried about pushing college. When he was ready, he'll go, but hopefully some of the credits that he's earned, he can get his associates through the Community College of the Air Force. Knock on wood. They're good kids. We've never really had any problem with them. Vanessa, when we moved back from New Mexico like I said, they were really happy in Edmiston. She had to laugh because when Mom and Dad took him in to see the counselor, guidance counselor, she asked Mr. Brophy, who was the guidance counselor at the time, who was it when I went there? Was a social studies teacher, so he had me. Well, he knew me because I didn't have him in class, but he was teaching there. She goes, well, how big? How many kids, students are there in Edmiston? And Jim says, oh, about 600 K through 12. And she goes, but